Welcome to Royal Legacy, where we will explore the rich athletic history and deep family connections of BYU sports. Join us as we honor the past, celebrate the present, and look forward to the future of the BYU Cougars. Here's your host, Lauren McLean.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Royal Legacy, where we dive deep into the family connections of BYU sports. Joining me today are father and son, Jack and Raider DeMooney. Jack is BYU's Director of Football Relations and played safety at BYU in 93 and 94. He's also the team's unofficial hype man. Raider was a top-rated high school recruit in the state of Utah and is now currently a safety on the BYU football team. I appreciate you guys being here with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes, we were just talking. We used to be neighbors
right,
I was single, and Raider doesn't even remember because he was so young. It's weird how time flies, right? And you're really? A grandpa?
I know I am.
What?
Man.
How'd that happen? Well, I mean, I know how it happened, but how has time flown?
I know that's crazy. My oldest daughter got married, and so we have our first grandson, married to a player on the team, Logan Latouille, and they have their first grandson, baby Ziggy. So it's been a blessing for us.
Wow, Grandpa
yes.
Jack.
Yeah.
How's it being, Uncle Raider?
Oh, it's fun. He's always at the house. Like every single day, and he's a wild one. So it's been fun. And yeah, it's been a true blessing to have him in our lives.
I bet he's spoiled.
Yeah, he's getting a little payback from when he was young. And so he was exactly like his little nephew, yes.
Were you wild as a kid?
I guess so. I didn't know I was wild, but I guess that's what they say.
And now you have to babysit him and get a little taste of how it goes. Yeah. All right, I can't believe it's already spring football time, and you guys are almost back at it. Jack, what are your main responsibilities when spring ball ramps up?
Okay, so now for me, because I'm on the support staff, right when the football season ends, that's when my busy time begins because there's a lot of things that I have to plan for, such as the coaches clinic, alumni football game, Coach Kalani's golf tournament. Then I got to hire all the players for summer camp. So spring is a crazy time for me. Just getting everything, getting everything worked out so that we can have a smooth, events that are coming up. Yeah. So it's been really busy, but it's been fun, and I've been doing it a lot all these years. So I'm kind of used to it.
Yeah. And those are like the funnest things that are coming up: the alumni game and the golf tournament. And
yes.
But I'm sure it's not as easy going as it sounds. I'm sure that's a lot of work.
Yeah. I wait till it's done, and then I enjoy it.
So. Yeah. And you play. I hope you're playing.
Not this year. I'm not going to play. I almost sprained my ankle. And so I said, no, not anymore.
Yeah, you old guys, you got to be careful out there. Raider, what are you going to be most focused on come spring ball?
Just really the little details. I think last season was really great for me personally. I got a lot of experience and time on the field. And so now just toning into those little details that the coaches tell me to do. Because there were some times last year where I would forget about those little things. And so focusing on the way I pedal, the technique, the coverages that I'm in, really studying the playbook, knowing it, everybody's assignments. And so that's really what I'm focusing on going into this spring. And I know that that'll pay off.
But what a freshman year. Like, what an incredible season. How would you describe what your freshman year was like at BYU?
Yeah, it was great. This actually, last year was my sophomore year.
Sophomore.
But it was definitely I like considering it like my freshman year because it's the year that I got the most experience.
Right.
But, it was a special season for us. It was probably the most fun I've had playing football. And I didn't think anything could top high school football because high school football, you're just having so much fun. But this past season was definitely special. The connections that we all had as a team and the bond that we had as a team was so good. And it was a blessing to play on this team this past year.
Jack, what was it like having a front row seat and watching your son play and succeed in such a special season?
Oh, for me, it was like a dad's dream come true, right? You only dream of these situations. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was special, but at the same time, I had a job too. You know what I mean? And so I try to just sit back and watch. I don't try and get involved in any of the the ins and outs and the X's and O's of football. I let the coaches coach and do whatever they can. But it was special for me to sit there and watch my son, as watch this guy as he developed, as well as all the other players that I know from high school, you know, as they developed into college football players, being able to come to this level and adapt and learn what culture is really about. You know, that's something special that I got to witness firsthand for him. So it was great. It's a great experience. And so it's a special season that we'll always remember.
Rady, from your perspective, what's it like having your dad right beside you as you go through your football journey?
Yeah, it's actually something that I think about a lot, and how blessed I am to have that opportunity. It's so cool when you go into like opposing stadiums and you're going into super crazy environments and wild atmospheres. Everyone's yelling, and then you kind of get a little bit nervous. But I think something that calms me down is knowing that I can look to the sideline and I see my dad there. You know, he's always been at my games growing up. He's been at my sporting events, and so it's definitely a special situation that I get to be a part of. Just knowing that my dad, every time I see him on the side, it calms me down. It kind of comforts me a little bit knowing that, okay, my dad's here. Just breathe, just relax. And then also just traveling with him in away games, whether we're at home or away, I always ask for a father's blessing before the game, the day of the game. And it's definitely been a blessing for me. It comforts me having my dad on staff and at the hotels, present at everything that we're doing as a team, because it really just helps me, and it calms me down. And knowing that he played here, it helps me to want to fulfill those shoes that he has set for me.
What a cool and unique blessing, because I feel like there's a lot of times, like when I go through hard times in my life, I'm like, I wish my mom was just standing there on the sideline, you know, I can be like, Mom. So that is such a cool thing that you get to have your dad right there with you with every step. Jack, you're kind of the unofficial team hype man of BYU football. How do you see your role influencing the morale and performance of the team in that way?
It's not a top priority, because, you know, but I enjoy doing it. You know what I mean? Whenever I have an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of these boys or just make them happy, you know, I make sure that I let my voice be heard. Or, you know, whether it be going in the locker room every day and giving everybody a fist pump, or just, you know, me and the boys, a lot of the boys, we have this special relationship or special bond. So I can talk to them in a certain way, and then make fun of them, and you know, and then they know who I am and they feel comfortable with me. So when the time comes that when I do something, they, you know, they're used to me already. So if I go crazy, they already know who I am already. So it's not something shocking to them. So, but I like doing it. I enjoy doing it. And so when the time is right, I'll do it. In the beginning, when I first came, Coach Kalani used to tell me, "Hey, man, what are you going to do today?" You know, he used to tell me things like that. And so, but I think I got to ramp it up a little bit more, because a lot of the fans been telling me, "You've been kind of a little bit mellow a little, so you need to come out and start hyping us up some more." So maybe this coming season I'll start getting back into it again.
I was going to say, I haven't seen as many hashtag I am Jack DeMooney videos.
I got to step back up. I got to pick up my game and step it up.
You
another,
do.
Another level.
And the dance videos, I miss those. Raider, you're definitely a vocal hype man for the BYU football program as well, especially on social media. I love seeing the stuff. You like to defend the program. And what do you feel like makes this team and program unique, where you feel like you want to have a voice and step up and kind of protect it?
I think it starts with just the love of the university. A lot of us players here at BYU were from Utah. We had parents, we had uncles, we had family members come to BYU. And personally for me, BYU has blessed my life in so many ways. I grew up in Hawaii. We grew up in Maui. And my dad was working over there. He was working three jobs when we were living in Hawaii. My mom was a school teacher. And BYU gave us an opportunity to come up here to Utah, and it has blessed my life in so many ways. And so I feel like I'm forever in debt to BYU. My family is forever in debt to BYU, and because of the blessings that they have provided for us in our lives. And just that, when you have a team that loves to be where you're at, and everybody can be on board and buy into the culture of this university, buy into loving this university, it makes the connection of your team so much better. You're playing for something so much bigger. You're playing for the university. You're playing for God and what the university stands for. and you're also playing for all the fans who support. And so I think that's something that is super important for us as players to do, is to defend and to wear your university and the school that you go to wear it with pride. And it's definitely helped us this past season. I feel like we've had so many guys who just love to be here. And the more guys we get like that to come to BYU, the more we're going to be successful on the football field and off.
That passion definitely shows through that you have. It's so cool. Let's go back to the days of Maui, since you brought that up. Before you accepted this job at BYU, Jack, and you guys moved to Provo, Utah, do you ever miss Maui, Jack? I know the answer. Yeah.
We miss it, but we're glad to be here, you know. And so Maui was a learning experience for us. It helped us to appreciate what we had, you know what I mean? And so for me, Rita was saying, I had three jobs. So I would leave home like at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would teach school, and then I had another job after that for an hour, and then I had to run all the way to the other side of the island, Walahaina, where I worked at this luau, and I didn't get home till like 11 o'clock at night. So I never seen my kids, you know, and so for 15 years I did that, you know what I mean? I mean 20 years I did that, and so but I would get off on the weekend, so I'd have time to go to their games and everything, but. Like I said, you know, BYU gave us that opportunity. And so we still love Maui. We go back, we have lots of friends there, we have lots of family there. And so for us to go back, you know, when we go back, we have a great time. But, yeah, we love Maui. It's a great place, and we still, to this day, maybe later on in life, you know, I mean, after I retire, I might move back to Maui. We'll see.
At some point, weren't you a dancer at the Polynesian Cultural Center?
I was, so prior to moving to Maui, prior to coming to BYU or prior to starting school, I went to Dixie Junior College. My family, my mom and dad moved to Hawaii from the Fiji Islands in 1960, and they worked there at the Polynesian Culture Center. So I grew up in the Polynesian Culture Center from a young age all the way through high school and after high school. Polynesian Culture Center is something special to me and to my family. Because if it wasn't for the Polynesian Culture Center, if it wasn't for the church, we wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? So that's something that's very special to us, and something that I will always cherish, as well as my kids and the rest of my family.
Raider, I believe you were in seventh grade when you moved, right? How would you describe, though, growing up with your three siblings in Maui, Hawaii?
It was fun. I have two sisters and an older brother, and we were all very close. You know, everything that we did, we all played for the same soccer team. We all played basketball, and everybody kind of knows each other. And we all went to the same school as well. And so just being around them a lot was really fun growing up, especially being in Hawaii. I didn't really realize that until I left, that I was really living. We were all really just living in paradise and had no worries about life. And it's fun. I'm definitely grateful for my upbringing and my parents and instilling the importance of family to us, because I've always been close to my siblings. And it was a great time growing up with them in Hawaii.
That first snowfall in Provo, you're like, man, I miss Maui.
Well, I can add something to that. Is my wife. My wife gets credit for everything, because she did everything with the kids. You know what I mean? Like whether you go to the beach, whether she goes shopping, whether you go to anywhere she went, she took the kids with her, and she made it. They didn't know at the time, but you know what I mean? But now they look back and they realize, man, that was a special time, because we were able to bond, and now you can go back and reflect and appreciate what she did for them in the past, right? And so that's why, you know, I've been blessed with the things that my wife has done for me as well as my children. And so we're grateful for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, moms are the best.
They are.
Aren't they? Was sports a big part of your family when you were growing up? Is it just kind of what you guys did?
Yeah. I would say, like, growing up, we all played sports. We all started off playing soccer, then basketball, and then kind of just went out. Volleyball. My sisters played volleyball and track. My brother played basketball, and he ran cross country, and then I played football. And so we've always been competitive. We've always wanted to play sports. But then also my brother didn't really have that passion for sports. But he loved playing and he enjoys watching, and he's a passionate fan. But he didn't want to really pursue it himself like the other three of my siblings, my other two siblings. And so he's a pilot, but my parents always supported us in whatever we wanted to do, and sports is a way that we found fun, and it was huge in our family growing up, especially knowing our dad was an athlete at the Division I level. And so,
are you guys still pretty competitive with each other?
Very, we are. It's very irritating as well.
You can't get that out of you, though. Once you got it, that competitiveness is just there, right?
Especially my older son. So, you know, Raider probably can argue with me or with my sibling. He cannot, even though my son is not a athlete, like he was an athlete, but he can never argue with my older son because my older son will demolish him in anything that they do. Yeah, you
know. No, that's not true.
I don't think Raider agrees with that.
I think he thinks that, but I don't think that's true.
So good. Jack, what type of values did you and your wife, Shelley, want to instill in your kids when they were young, growing up?
You know, I think for us, the most important thing was taking our kids to church every single Sunday without missing. You know, so because I know for a fact that gospel principles, if they're governed by gospel principles, they'd be blessed and it'd be an easier life for them. So for us, we made it a point, you know, we always made it a point to teach our kids the value, like what most people do, you know, father and mother do for their family. But for us, we felt like taking our kids to church every Sunday was very important. And once we did that and once we got our kids committed to doing that, it was easier for us to raise them. You know, when they came home, we made sure that what we taught at church was practiced at home. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so, but my kids always knew that I was I'm a very giving guy. So I charity is something that's very important to me, charity and service. And so I see it in my kids now. You know, anybody can come to them and ask them for anything and they'll give it, you know. And so I'm very proud of that. You know, so when I see them, Raider does that all the time. You know, whatever he gets, anybody comes over to the house, I just say, Raider, give him that, and Raider will give him. So the same like all my kids, but that's something I think. So gospel principles were very important for me and my wife, you know, and so the church played an integral part in us raising our kids, which I will be forever grateful for. And still, till this day, I can see it in them now they all married, except for my one daughter on a mission. You know, so, but it's something that's been blessed, we've been blessed with.
Raider, is that something you feel strongly about that you want to carry on to your own family as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think the way that I was brought up, like my dad said, and my mom gets credit for that as well, is definitely something that I want to install with my future family. It's blessed my life so much, and it's helped me to know where I can turn to. You know, it helped me to understand that we have a loving Heavenly Father, and I want my kids to know that too, because that's what blessed my life throughout my life. You know, when things are going hard, I always think back to the principles and the things that my parents taught me with the gospel principles, and that comforts me, that gives me hope. And so I think that's something that I want my kids to be able to know, you know, that they have someone who loves them always, and that if you serve other people and if you are nice to other people, that, you know, Heavenly Father or God will bless you. And so that's something that they've blessed me with in my life. They've taught me, and so I'm definitely planning on doing that as well.
And, you know, another thing, Lord, I wanted to add. So these guys growing up on Maui, even though the church is there, in our communities all around, they were like the minorities, right? And so we had to make sure that we continue to be consistent in our teaching to our kids. Like, yo, you have to remember, man, when you're presented with this or this, you have to remember you're a member of the church. You cannot be doing that. So there's a lot of occasions where these guys have encountered different situations where people would either tempt them to do something or try to lead them to, you know, lead them to a certain situation. And because they learned that and because of the gospel, you know, they were able to not do the things that were in front of them. And so I think us teaching them that, and I think that's an important role for parents to teach. If you can't teach your kids anything, just make sure you take them to church every day. Because, you know, for me, kids learn from other people. You can teach them all, but when kids learn from other people, it tends to register, right? And so that was something that was important. So being that they were the minority, that was so important for us to have them learn true values, so that would help them to be make life a lot more easier for them. Yeah,
that's powerful. I'm here with father and son BYU football's Jack and Raider DeMooney. Jack, you mentioned that you grew up in Maui as well. When during that time did you meet Kalani Sitake?
Okay, so I didn't grow up on Maui. I grew
up in
Laie,
Fiji.
Hawaii.
Oh, in okay, Laie.
Laie in Hawaii, yeah. So a story, Coach Kalani, when I was in high school, when I was in intermediate school, his dad, Uncle Tom, Pops, who everybody called, he was going to school at BYU Hawaii. So he was one of the security guards, right, on the campus security. And so in Laie, a lot of us guys, there's nothing that we could do, but we go and hang out at BYU Hawaii, you know, on that campus. But Coach Kalani and his family lived on our street. So I knew him when he was a young kid growing up. And so, but we'd see them all around, but we'd see him mostly on BYU campus. So Coach Kalani, from a young age, he was on BYU University, but he started off at BYU Hawaii, you know what I mean? And so I knew him growing up in high when I was in intermediate school and going through high school. As he got older, then their family moved to Provo. But I was really close with and it's so funny because we used to go on campus, and I can talk about this because it's in the past, right? We used to go on campus, and we used to cause a lot of trouble. Not trouble, but we you got 10, 20 boys, Polynesian boys together, you make a lot of noise. And so they would call Pops, right? They would call Pops, and he would come in. He was big back then. He was huge, like muscular, like big, big. And he would come over there, and he would be walking around. But how he is now is how he was then. You know what I mean?
He's still an intimidating guy.
But the way he talks to people, right? He would just come to us, and we'd see him, and we're like, oh, no, it's Uncle. And he'd come over there, and he'd just talk nicely. Boys, can you guys please go off campus? Because the people are complaining about you guys making too much noise. So that's just experiences that we had with Pops. But I knew Kalani when he was young, and so our relationship grew over the past. And so when I came here to BYU, when I was a senior, he was a freshman. And so like I kind of took him under my wing. We were good friends everywhere we went. And so when, during my senior year, we played in the Copper Bowl. And so Kalani would hang out with us, and we had so much fun. And so when I lived on Maui, he then started coaching. And so he would come to Hawaii, and I would occasionally meet up with him and talk to him about different recruits. That is when he was at the University of Utah. And so I helped him out with a lot of the recruits. And so when he got the job here at BYU, I just called him one night to congratulate him, 11 o'clock at night on one of my jobs that I was working. And he just told me, hey, you want to come down back to Provo and work here? Remember how you used to take care of me when we was at BYU? I said, yeah. I said, I want you to come and take care of the boys like that, just the boys on the football team. I was like, no problem, I'm down. Went to my wife, I told him, we're moving.
Wow.
So that's the only way. So it's funny because we used to come to Provo every summer, and these guys never would like to go back. They never like to go back to Hawaii because we come here and we go to the wreck, and they see everything. They go to, at that time, it was called Seven Peaks, but now it's called Splash Summit. They would go over there and they stay for days, and they would come back and say, Mom, Dad, we don't want to go back to Maui, right? And so we entertained the idea of moving back to Provo, but I told my wife, you know what? The only way I would move back to Provo if I would get a job here at BYU. That's the only way. And, you know, we was blessed, you know, and Coach Kalani has been a blessing to my family by him giving me this opportunity to come here. There are so many miracles that has happened in our family. And I would always be grateful to Coach Kalani for giving me this job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Raider, what did you know about Kalani before that phone call happened?
Honestly, not a lot. I was just a little kid. I knew he was a football coach, but yeah, I didn't really know too much about Coach Kalani. But once my dad got the job and once we moved up here, it immediately felt like, oh, this was my family. This has always been my uncle. This is someone that I know, and it's still like that to this day. As a player under him, it's still that same family feel. Same, you know, this is my uncle, and I'm sure the boys on the team can attest to that too. Like it's a cool dynamic that we have with our coaches. It's truly a family atmosphere, and yeah, that's something that I would say is prior to my dad coming up here to BYU, they didn't really know a lot about, you know, things on this side. Coach Kalani and the BYU football program, Utah football program, but I've definitely been able to learn and grow closer to them.
What was you and your siblings' reaction when your dad said, hey, pack up your stuff, we're going to Provo, Utah, I got a job at BYU?
Oh, we were super excited. I remember that to this day. I remember my dad, he called us out to the living room one day. We were all just chilling in our rooms, and he told us, hey, it's not for sure, but I have this opportunity, and I'm going to go. I think he went up to interview first or something, or had a couple interviews first, and then my dad moved up here, like, I want to say a month or two or three months before we moved up. And so once we found out that he for sure got the job, we were super excited for the opportunity to move up to Utah. Like my dad said, we used to come in the summer, and we'd be like, oh, my gosh, the rec center? Like, we've never seen anything like that in our lives. And so, like, being around there and then having also a lot of family that was up here in Utah, some of my dad's siblings live up here, it was definitely something that we wanted to do, and we were super excited for the opportunity.
Raider, you and your siblings, you had a lot of success athletically at Timpview High School since coming to Provo. Like you said, I didn't even think football could get better than what it was at Timpview, yeah, right, until this past year. The story goes that Kalani saw you playing basketball in eighth grade and then offered you on the spot. What do you remember about that moment?
Yeah, definitely a life-changing moment. I remember the summer the day we moved up here, my dad had said, oh, you already have a basketball tournament the day, like, once we got off the plane. And it was from, I was playing on a team with Kalen Hall's sons and Logan Fano's, mm-hmm, and Kingsley. We were all on the same team.
Noah Moyaki.
And, we were all playing on that same team. And my first day we came up and we were playing basketball. And I know at the time it was my Uncle T, Ofohengao, he was also the recruiting coordinator at BYU, and his nephews were playing on the same team as me. And so we were playing basketball, and I guess we had a pretty good showing. I love basketball. Basketball was my first love. And then from there, it was in the talks, and then Coach Kalani eventually offered me later that year. And it was life-changing. I'm super grateful to be here.
Crazy that you were so young that you must have been balling out for him to be like, hey, I want him to play football when you were doing so good at basketball.
But the thing is, and I still remember, Coach Kalani pulls me into the office and he goes, hey, there's an eighth grader. His name is Raider. And I started laughing because, you know, and T was sitting down, and then T said, that's his son. And then Kalani said, okay, bring him into my office. So I still remember that day. Yeah, it was special. It was.
What role did you play in the recruiting process with Raider, Jack?
You know, I always wanted him to come to BYU. There's no doubt in my mind I needed, you know, I wanted my son to be here at BYU. But I wanted to leave it up to him, you know what I mean? And so I was there. I'm glad I was there during the recruiting process because, you know, I had friends who had sons before, and I used to watch them, and I learned from a lot of these guys how they went through the recruiting process. Mm-hmm. So I've been through it the same way. You know, another guy that was very integral in helping me to learn the recruiting process was Jason IU, you know, with mm-hmm. his son Chaz. Mm-hmm. And so it was special, but I didn't try and force anything. People might think, hey, you forced your son to go to BYU. You can ask him too. You know, at one point, you know, he had to make a decision. And so I told him, you know, it's up to you. I told him, these are my words. And I said, I would love for you to come to BYU. And it would make me so happy. It would make a lot of people happy. But at the end of the day, it's totally up to you because this is your recruiting process. You know what I mean? And so, but I kind of knew because this kid grew up, was always a BYU fan, you know what I mean? And so he bled BYU blue, but I still gave him that opportunity to make the decision for himself.
Yeah. Raider, because as you got older, you started to get more offers from some big-time programs. Was there ever a doubt in your mind to maybe choose one of these other programs over BYU?
Not going to lie, absolutely. I think, especially being such a young kid coming from Hawaii, I didn't even really know what an offer was. So when I got off my first offer, I was like, oh, okay, thank you. But I didn't really understand like what that meant. And so as my recruiting went on and as I got older, more schools started – I started seeing other kids as well getting more offers, and then more schools started to offer me. And it definitely raised the question like, dang, did I just – because I committed on the spot once I got my BYU offer. And I started to think, like, oh, was this something that I just acted too fast on and didn't really think about? And especially when you have other schools and these programs that you grow up watching, mm-hmm. like, coming after you. And, you know, when that happened, I really did think about it. And there was a couple conversations that I've had with my dad where I was like, it's not, I'm not listing BYU out in any way, but do you think, you know, it'd be smart for me to decommit and kind of really give every school a fair opportunity? Yeah. Because at the time, I think I want to say my junior year, I was really, really liking Utah and Stanford. And those were the two schools that were in my mind with BYU. It was those three that I knew that I wanted to, one of those three. And as the time came to signing, I remember it was, I think it was a couple weeks where like a lot of people were still wondering, because I was verbally committed, but I also was, people knew that I took a couple visits to other mm-hmm. schools. And so they were kind of wondering, and I just had that prayed about it, had that confirmation in my heart that I knew that BYU was where I needed to be. And 100%, I'm super grateful that I made that decision and I'm here today, because it's been such a blessing to be here at BYU, and I love it here. And so, yeah, and it means a lot to be a legacy kid, to be someone who had a father who played here, and now I get to fill that role of living up to that. And so, yeah, I'm truly grateful for the opportunity. I'm grateful for my recruiting process and the schools that gave me the opportunity to play for them. But at the end of the day, I knew that BYU is the place that I needed to be at.
You had a trying experience, let's call it, before you coming to BYU. In 2020, I think you and your cousin, Jovessa, and Micah Kafusi, who's also on the team, and you guys got in a serious car accident on I-15. How did that – I know you mentioned that you, like, miraculously didn't get hurt by that. How did that affect you mentally just at that time in your life?
Oh, yeah. Mentally, that affected me in a lot of ways. I was scared to go on ever drive ever again, be with my friends and, like, do things. But it's definitely blessed my life in a way. I think at that time I was kind of just careless with what I was doing. Like, I was just, like, just a teenager, just mm-hmm. being a teenager mm-hmm. in high school with my friends, same with my cousins. And that really was an eye-opening experience for me, which helped me understand, like, yeah, I need to shape my life up. I need to be better in what I do. Because honestly, that night, and this is in the past, I lied to my parents. I told them I was going somewhere else, and then we went somewhere else, and that's what happened. And so it helped me to understand that, okay, from here on out, no more doing that. Honor your parents and really focus on what's important.
He almost got into two accidents that night. Oh. One with one on the I-15 and another one with my hands. Yeah. It was funny because I told him, me and my wife was in the garage, and then they were all in the car, and I said, where are you going? And they said, oh, we're just going to go down the road. We're just going to go down the street to the rolling some ice skate ring in Orem. You know, not knowing that they were going to Salt Lake, right? And so, you know where the point of the mountain is, where you, uh-huh. where not the point of the mountain, where the prison is, and it turns around and goes to Draper. That's exactly where they got into trouble. That you got into the accident. When I got that telephone call, it was like 25 minutes later. So I was in the garage with my brother, Jovessa's dad. And so when we got the call, so Jovessa calls his dad and tells him, and it was like, what? You know, it's a phone call that you never want to mm-hmm. experience. You know what I mean? And my wife is going nuts. And I'm like, and the first thing I asked it was, are they okay? And then they said, nobody got hurt. I said, okay, good. Somebody's going to get hurt right now. Jump in the car. So we drove all the way to Draper, and we went to look for him. The first thing I got out of the car, I was so mad because they lied to us. You know, and so just putting people in putting lives. And, you know, when I know he learned his lesson from then, because it's an eye opener for him, and it's a blessing for him, you know. And so I'm glad that he realized that. So
yeah, that's life, isn't it? You live and learn. You make some mistakes. You lie to your parents a time or two, and and hopefully you get over that and learn your lesson. Well, one miracle and a mission in California later, you're fulfilling a lifelong dream as a playmaker on the BYU football team. Jack, what makes you most proud when you see your son out on the field playing the same position that you played on, the same field that you played on in the 90s?
Yeah, like I said, it's a dream come true for me, but I'm just glad he's here repping representing BYU. You know what I mean? And so he has an opportunity to be an instrument on and off the field, you know, take advantage of his platform and represent the church, represent his family. You know, those are the things that I'm proud of, right, as a parent. And so these are the things that you dream of when you look at your son when he's playing soccer at a young age and playing basketball. All of a sudden you see him in the front of the television watching TV and cheering for BYU, and then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, he's on the field, right? And so it's like, man, it's so surreal when you're in that situation, right? And so for me, it's an honor for me to see him, and I'm proud of him, and now he just gotta continue doing what he has to do, stay healthy, and hopefully he can make plays on the, you know, make plays on the field next year with our boys, our team, right?
And you got to see your daughter Selena in Cougar Blue too, playing volleyball before she left on her mission.
Yes.
Fiji. That had been a cool experience.
Oh,
too.
It was. And then so she's a special one too. I think Raider, being that the success he had on the football field, he was always a role model to his sister. So she looked up to him, you know, and his success. So the drive that he had, she sustained the same drive, and would want to put herself on that level like her brother. And so he was a good example of a good role model to her in the sports world, as well as a good, great big brother. And because of that, she was able to achieve a lot of accomplishment on the volleyball court. You know, so proud of her. In high school, she is in the state of Utah. She has the record for the most assists, right? And so that's something that we're really proud of her doing. And so yeah, and then seeing her in the BYU blue was so special to me. You know, I love seeing her there. So, but she's doing her thing on a mission, and so we're happy for her right now.
She's putting that same effort in her mission right now.
Yeah.
Coming full circle, Reader, you're recently married, and you're starting a whole new journey in life of your own. What's one thing your dad taught you that you hope to carry on to your own kids when you have them one day?
Just always put the Lord first. I think that's something that, like, I know it's you hear that a lot from other people, but it's something that was genuinely taught to me from a young age. Like, even growing up, you know, having passion for sports, loving football, loving basketball, and knowing that he's a very passionate guy when it comes to those things as well, he always emphasized to me to put the Lord first and to make sure you go on your mission. You know, that was something, it wasn't anything that was forced on me, but it was something that I knew that was important to him and something that I knew that blessed his life. And he wanted that for me as well. And so that's something that he always emphasized to me growing up as a kid is put the Lord first. The Lord will take care of you. No matter what you're going through, he's always going to take care of you. You know, no matter the success you have on the football field, go on your mission. I promise you that'll bless your life in more ways than you can think. And so just having that same mentality and same trying to feed that same thing to my kids as well is something that I really want to do, because it's definitely blessed my life. And I can't imagine where I would be in my life if I didn't know, you know, who God was or if I didn't put him first in my life. And so that's something that I want to continue to do with my kids. No matter what they do, just always know that if you put the Lord first, the Lord will take care of you. Something that both my mom and my dad taught me from a very young age.
Mm. I'm here with father and son, BYU football's Jack and Raider DeMooney. You guys are awesome. What a family. What an incredible family. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with me.
No worries.
Appreciate it. Thanks again to Jack and Raider DeMooney for coming on the show with me. Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Royal Legacy wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Royal Legacy is a production of BYU Broadcasting.